Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, and today we are joined by celebrity hair artist and men's groomer, Najeti Harvey, and also we have Donna Mee on the line who has some news to share. But I want to remind you all, if you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, the number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Janice. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm going to start with Donna. What do you have for us, Donna? I know you have some exciting news about some exciting classes, I'm sure.
Well, I've got a couple new workshops that are coming up that we only do once a year at my school, which is Empire Academy of Makeup in Costa Mesa, California. We have one that I've created called Authority on Beauty, which I think is, of course, fabulous because I created it. But in all my experience in the industry, there's just so often that a certain client will sit in your chair that most makeup artists don't know how to handle, whether it's someone with an extreme birthmark or someone going through, you know, cancer treatment and chemotherapy, so their skin is, you know, extremely sensitive, even almost water hurts their face, you know, all the way down to someone who just had lash extensions and, you know, the newer makeup artists don't know how to, you know, do their mascara or remove it or lack thereof, that type of thing. And you know, birthmarks, different, you know, the point is we have actually 10 or 11 different speakers that specialize in different fields that come in. We have somebody comes from Grossman Burn Center to talk about working with burn survivors. We have somebody from, you know, Komen for the Cure comes in and talks about what women go through cancer and chemotherapy. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize how often that, you know, someone in their own life is going to be affected with cancer. The statistics right now are 1 in 3 women will have cancer at some point in their lifetime. So, you know, that's 1 of 3 of us, you know, that are on the phone right now, you know. So it's so much more common than people think. A lot of people think they just want to do models and stuff like that. You know, even young people get cancer. So not only that, how to, you know, detect a mole and see if it's cancerous. You know, by no means we're you know, becoming doctors or nurses, but we are going to notice facial moles and things on people's ears and necks and whatnot more often than they may even realize are there. So we can, you know, if we see something that looks potentially cancer, we can at least encourage them to go see a doctor. I know myself, I've saved several people's lives that had, you know, medium advanced stages of cancer that would have, you know, probably gone completely undetected otherwise. So that's just something kind of powerful that a makeup artist, you know, they're seeing them all the time anyway. They just don't know the difference in a cancerous one and a non-cancerous one. So to be able to have that power, you know, it's kind of important, I think, the way I look at it. But we also have speakers that come in and tell us all the different procedures that are new from, you know, one of the lead plastic surgeons at UCI Hospital, all the newest technique and technology and what they can do and, you know, how to help women that are going through the healing stages, whether it's covering up bruises or she decides not to get a nose job, so how to contour and highlight her nose instead of getting her nose done or covering up bruises from surgery and that type of thing. And we also have Nurse Nancy Pellegrino, who's, you know, the lead top person in, you know, the West Coast for doing Botox and peels and whatnot. She has, you know, the beauty editors from Vogue and Harper's Bazaar in New York fly all the way here for her. So she's kind of a big deal for us to know, you know, not necessarily teaching us how to do it, but there's women in our chair every day that, you know, joke or jest about, oh, I should get my eyes done, or I'm thinking about this. And the average makeup artist just kind of giggles and laughs and go, oh, girl, you look good, you know. And the truth is women are saying those things to us because they feel like we're going to help them. We're going to give them good advice. We're going to give them a good referral. And when we kind of just, you know, act like giggle and say, you know, you look good, that's not the kind of advice they're looking for, you know. Sometimes they can't even admit that to their own best friend or family because they're embarrassed that they're not happy with what they see in the mirror anymore. So, you know, the ability to say, you know, if you're serious, I have a really great referral for you. That's a powerful thing that is, a, you know, someone who does makeup or considers himself a esthetician or some, any type of a beauty expert should really have that in mind, I think.
Right.
So anyway, this class, we have like 10 different people, from lash extensions to permanent makeup to mortuary makeup to, you know, camouflage makeup, and the plastic surgeon and the facial rejuvenation specialist. And we even have women who come from battered women shelters. So all different realms is what we call Authority on Beauty. That workshop is June 18th through the 20th, from 5 to 10 p.m. And then we have another one that's, you know, a completely other side of the fence, which is called 200 Decades of Beauty that I've created. Mm. So it has, you know, basically the history of makeup and beauty as we know it, which is, of course, quite interesting. But we also cover American beauty icons and, you know, iconic photographs, which so often, you know, we're on set as a makeup artist and someone will say, hey, you know, I want you to create, you know, Holly Golightly, scene 3, you know, and people go, who's that? Or, you know, I need Barbarella hair, and they don't know what that is. You know, it's, you know, important that we know who the beauty icons are, whether you're, you know, 17 or, you know, 110. As a makeup artist, you really don't have any business being on set if you don't know who the icons are. You're going to be asked to create constantly. But we also cover 100 years of Vogue covers, which is really, really fun and interesting. And I have a huge vintage makeup museum, which some people may have heard of and even seen some of it displayed now and then. I had it once, part of it, at IMAX in LA several years ago. But I have 2,800 pieces, some dating back as far as BC. So I'll have a personal tour of mine. It takes about 2.5 hours to get through all the different items and stories that I have in my vintage museum.
Oh, wow.
And that day actually includes 2 days of hands-on makeup. So we cover makeup from, you know, like I said, from the BC period, and then really in-depth we cover from 1910 through 1990, and the artist will recreate one of those looks in addition to doing what we've taught them, how to research their own looks and do something from a different country and or, you know, prior to the 20th century. So people will be doing, you know, geishas and Marie Antoinettes and Cleopatras or whatever they feel like doing. So it's a really fun workshop for 3 days.
And tell me the date on that again, on the 200 Decades of Beauty?
The 200 Decades of Beauty is June 24th through the 26th. So it's 3 nights from 5 to 10 p.m.
Okay. Wow. I'm gonna have to stop by your school to see this museum.
Yeah, you're gonna have to fly in. There's so many cheap flights going on right now, lots of flight deals, so no matter where somebody lives, they could come in and do it.
Yeah, that sounds really nice. So you're gonna have a busy June.
Yeah, very busy, June. Plus speaking at the Fame Show both nights, in addition to your segment at the Fame Show, and having a booth there for my academy, it's going to be a busy month. And right now I'm planning an intensive beauty boot camp in Bali retreat for next year. So I'm very busy.
Yeah, sounds like it. And do you know around about what time of year you're going to do that in Bali?
It's going to be May, I believe, of next year, May through June. It's going to be about 5 weeks long. So for lots of my students from, you know, that are coming from out of the area, out of the country anyway, I believe a lot of the Australians, I have a big following in Australia, so hopefully quite a few of them that can't ever really, you know, expense to get all the way here to this side of the world of America. It's a very inexpensive flight to Bali from there. But I've had students from, you know, even California say that they want to go to the one in Bali. I want to go to the one in Bali. So, you know, we'll have long days of lectures and breaks, and we'll all go snorkeling or who knows what. So it's going to literally be a beauty boot camp, you know, retreat. So little bit of fun, whole lot of beauty.
Sounds good. And your two June workshops, are there a limited number of seats or?
There is a limited number of the one for the period. I think we have 5 or 6 left. For the authority on beauty, there's only the last day of hands-on. It's mostly all just the different lectures and demonstration segments from all of the various speakers. So that one I probably could fit even a dozen more people in.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we have even a doctor and 2 nurses coming in for that one.
Cool. Sounds nice.
Yeah.
And where can they get more information?
They can go to the website is empireacademy.com, or they can always go to Donna Mee. My last name is MWEINC.com, so DonnaMeeInc.com. That leads them to all my different, my own pages, my portfolio, and the beauty camp, and the store, and the academy, everything.
Okay. Cool. Love it.
Well, thank
Love
you so
it.
Much
well,
for my 10-minute commercial.
You're welcome. And you know you're welcome to do your 10-minute commercial anytime.
Okay. I'll hit you up on that again, and I will see you girls at the fame show since I got you a booth. Woo!
Yay! I'm so excited.
I can't wait. That is very exciting to finally meet you guys.
Congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And definitely keep us posted, Donna, as to how these two workshops go.
Okay, I certainly will. We'll take lots of pictures. I'll be posting them on Facebook. If anybody wants to Facebook me, they'll be able to see them. There's actually some up there from last season, too.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Check you out. Thank you, Donna.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. I'm going to be gone for this, so I can hang up now, yeah?
Yeah, you can.
All right, have a great day, ladies.
Okay,
you too.
Nice meeting you, Donna.
All right.
Take
bye-bye.
Care.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, and now my sister joins us with her beauty news segment.
Good evening, everyone. I'll make this quick. I don't know how long my voice is going to last, but welcome to the Beauty Lounge. I'm looking for those who may have attended the Makeup Show Chicago this weekend, and actually they have one day left tomorrow, to call in and give us some of the highlights from the show. Let us know if you saw anything different that you liked. Also, for those who may have attended Marietta Carter Narcisse's lipstick lecture this past weekend on what is a script, call in at 914-803-4389 and let us know your thoughts on that class. I would love to hear that. And Beauty Talk, as Donna mentioned, will be doing a live show at Fame Expo on Saturday, June 29th. I believe the time is 4:30 or 4:45. And that will be on one of the stages. And we will also have a booth. So if you're planning to attend Fame Expo, we will be booth number 914. And we're going to have a couple of contests going on, actually on both days from the booth, as well as some giveaways. And we'll be doing some interviews from the booth as well. But the live show will include, of course, a series of interviews with quite a few guests, as well as we're looking for some beauty bloggers. In the L.A. area, possibly, or if you're a blogger and you happen to be flying out to L.A. for the show, we're looking for some beauty bloggers to be a part of our Beauty Lounge, which if you join us here on Beauty Talk, you know that Beauty Lounge is our chat room. So we're looking for some bloggers to be a part of that that Beauty Lounge where they will be blogging and tweeting and on Facebook posting about Beauty Talk Live as well as Fame Expo. And pretty much they'll be taking questions from the audience and things like that for us and just kind of being pretty much a twin to our beauty loungers over here on Blog Talk Radio.
Cool.
And if you would like more information on Fame Expo, you can go to fameexpo.com. That's PHAMEXPO.com.
Cool. Sounds good. Well, I'm excited about Fame Expo, and I'm also excited about tonight's show. Again, as I said earlier, we have as our guest tonight celebrity hair artist and men's woman, Jenny Harvey. Welcome to the show once again.
Thank you, Janice. And hi, Denise.
Hello.
Hi. So nice.
How are you?
Oh, I am so blessed. Hello, everyone.
Well, you know, there's so much that I've learned about you in a short period of time, but yeah. I want to hear it all again tonight, plus more. So we're just going to jump right on into the conversation. But, again, I said that you are a celebrity hair artist and men's groomer. So I want to get in a little bit into what you do with both of those sides of the business. Okay. But first, let's just start off by telling our listening audience a little bit about yourself and how you got started as a celebrity hair artist.
Oh, wow. Okay, where do I start? Again, this is my name is Nijeti Harvey, and I pursued the industry about 14 years ago, about in 99, and I'm a 20-plus year natural hair care specialist. I'm a competition judge and a licensed cosmetologist and salon owner, and I'm also a Suction Carson platform educator. When I decided to pursue the industry 14 years ago, 1999, the thought came to me was, I want to see my work in a magazine. I knew nothing about how to go about it, but I did know of a published photographer by the name of Eric Von Lockhart. I'm sure you ladies know Eric Von Lockhart. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was I called Eric, and at the time, back in the days, you know, when we had the little camera, you take a snap, I had like a 3x5 portfolio of my client's work. And I called him, met him at his studio. He loved me. He loved my work. He saw my potential. He decided to be my mentor. And being so, I was like, okay. So I would constantly call Eric. Like, I would call him on the phone. Hi, Eric. One particular day, I called him. He said, hold on to Daddy. I kid you not, ladies. This is what happened. You have to be tenacious and persistent. And he said, hold on, Nijeti. He put this woman on the phone. Her name was Eunice, and she was like the creative editor of this magazine called NHS, which stands for Natural Hairstyles. Long story short, they were charging stylists $100 per page. Now, I thought that was absurd. So I refused to pay, and she gave me 3 free pages. I said, well, that's what I'm talking about. So here I am on set with the veterans of the industry, John Atchison and Mortis. Okay, that's my girl. I'm sorry. So I'm on set with the veterans, and we did them at the shoot, and my diamond knots made the first insert on the cover. So that was the beginning of my pursuit in the industry and everything else. And then I remember in 2000, my first music video was Mos Def. His Umi Says video. So I didn't say I'm from New York. I'm from Queens, New York, but I'm now living in Bloomfield, New Jersey, so I'm always in the city on my gigs. But that's how it started. At the time, I was back in the 90s, I was living in Brooklyn, Fort Greene, hello. And, little Mecca. And so, you have all these up-and-coming people out there doing things in the industry, and it just went on. I would network, and one thing led to another, and I never had a PR, never had a manager. So everything I've accomplished, when people look me up, Nijeti.com, that's NEDJETTI.com, all of those hairstyles on my website was done by me, no assistance. It's all of my work. I've been grinding, ladies. Grinding, how y'all doing? That's my story, part of it.
Yeah, part of it. Now,
part of
when
it.
We started, you said that you were a natural hair, and I think I may have missed some of that title, a natural hair specialist.
A natural hair care specialist and loctician. Let me add that in.
Okay.
I am 46 years old. I've been styling hair since I was 7 years old. It's on both sides of my family. My maternal grandmother was a cosmetologist, and my paternal granddad was a barber and coal miner. So educators in my family, also hair artists. So I just infused the two, and I've been honing my craft since I was 7 years old, corn rolling, braiding, and then styling my grandmother's hair and my sisters and my uncles and best friends and so on. So I didn't know it was my passion until I was about 25 when I got stopped on the street by someone who said, where did you go? What salon did you go to? And I'm like, no, I did my own hair. That's when, I had got pinched, the bug, and I was like, oh. And so they asked, would you do my hair? I'm like, well, I don't have a salon. She's like, well, I come to your house. And that's where it started for me. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Right?
And because I'm listening to you, and you're saying that you're a natural hair specialist, and you wear your hair natural, correct?
Yes. I have natural hair. Yes, I've been natural actually since 1993. I went natural. And actually, I had locks for 9 years. I locked in 94, cut them in 03, and just been natural since.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you wear your hair natural, and you're a natural hair specialist. And when I look at your website, I see
yes.
all of these different textures of hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I look
yes.
at some of your pictures and look at your work, like, I guess sometimes people would make the assumption because you wear your hair natural and you are a natural hair specialist that's all you do is natural hair.
Yes. Wow.
But I'm looking at these pictures.
Yes.
I'm looking at these pictures and I'm like, wow. So let's talk a little bit about your work with all these other textures of hair. Like, When you went to Eric, and then you got connected with the Natural Hair magazine, when did the work beyond natural hair begin?
Let's say it began like I started. Eric was telling me he gave me advice on how to create a professional portfolio. You know, you work with the photographers and the makeup artists and stylists. And so I would go on the internet back then. It was like MuseCube, and I would go on and hunt for people and say, I want to work with you on your team. So I was doing. That's why when you go to NJD.com and see my gallery, you'll see work. Those were professional photo shoots, non-paid. That I was just weaning it. Because when I tell you, I didn't go to school until 04. I was 37 years old when I finally got my formal education, almost 40 years old. I was 37. I went to school, did my 10 months, and passed the test and became licensed. But prior to that, I was just what I call, you know, God gives us a gift. So we all have that gift. And but we still need formal training. That's what I had to learn. So I get aspiring hair artists email me, and they'll say, I'm a natural specialist. What should I go to school? I say, yes. In bold letters, yes. Go get your license because you have to learn the science of hair. You have to learn so much. You know what's entailed. It's mandatory because you can specialize, become a colorist or specialize in something, but you need to know everything. You need to know the basics of hair, and that's what you'll get in cosmetology school. And then, things just happen. How I got in magazines, I would, call after I did a couple of celebrities' hair, I would call magazines and say, okay, I'm a celebrity hair artist. Would you like to interview me?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? No one told me this. It's just that I just thought, well, how else am I going to get in magazines unless I make a phone call? So I tell everyone, pick up the phone. Don't just do it. You have to hone your craft. Don't get me wrong. You have to have the experience and work hard and the proof of your work. But after you get to that certain point, then you take the next step. Make those phone calls to those magazines. Well, now, you know, it's the internet and social media. I tweet. Like, I just tweeted Control Magazine, and they were like, he sent me to his creative editor, director, I mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, after a while, once you build that name up for yourself, then you can just get in the door, and without an agent. So it's not that I'm not looking for one.
But you are in agreement that, just like you said,
yes.
you have to hone your craft, get the education, the experience.
Yes.
And build up your name before you start picking up the phone saying, hey, I'm this, and don't you want to interview me?
Yes, you do. That's mandatory.
That's
There's no
mandatory.
Shortcut.
Right.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Like, what makes some artists so bold, bold enough to think, okay, they just finished the state board, they just got their license, and they think they're supposed to be, how can I put this? They act as if they're supposed to be, I'll just say it this way. Not that this is like the most that you can do with your career, but some act as if they're supposed to be working, I'll put it this way. They're supposed to be working with celebrities, and they're supposed to be making, $1,000 a day to do Mary J. Blige's hair. Like, what makes people that bold? Like, what is it? What
I mean, what kind of confidence do they have? I mean, what is it that makes them go after their career like that?
Well, I think it's wonderful to have high standards and set goals to knowing your self-worth and wanting to work with celebrities. But if people only knew, oh, my goodness, you have to be in the position to, how can I say, you have to, see, people want instant gratification. So if you don't have the experience and you don't put in the work, I'm telling you, the younger youth, you know, I'm telling you, we have to teach them to put in the work and understand that you don't get something before you give something. You can't get anything before you put in something. And
right.
I think, you know, with the internet, everything is fast and quick, and so they have this mindset like, you know, I want it now. And no, that's not how it works. When you plant a flower, you put the seed in, you know, it doesn't grow the next day. You have to nurture it. You have to take care of it. Same thing in life. So with that being said, I thumbs up to the fact that you have people have they have high goals, but if you have nothing to show for it, then you have to step back, put in the work, build a portfolio, build your reputation. Like I've been in the industry 14 years, I've only been late 3 times out of 14 years. I have an impeccable reputation. We don't people have got to stop being late. It's like I just we have to understand we have to conduct ourselves with not just being skilled, but you have to have great great energy, a great person, and of course skills, and be you know, on time. It's important.
Yeah, with I had to ask,
you know,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't want to digress.
No, I was going to say that I had to ask you that question because you know how it is when your mother tells you something and you just don't listen to it until you start hearing it from other people?
Yes.
And that's why I had to ask you that question, because as many times as we've said it here on Beauty Talk, you know, it's like people just don't get it. So I had to ask that question so somebody else is putting that information out there.
Yes. Definitely. Put in the work. Come on. No, even with me and my name, I mean, I've built my name. All of the work is visible, you know, my websites, my brand. That's 14 years, though. That's almost 15 years. So.
You
know, it takes a minute and stay at it.
there was someone who called me, someone that called me yesterday on the phone. And I promise you, when I answered the phone, she didn't even introduce herself.
Oh, you're
serious? Just said, she just said, oh, somebody gave me your number and told me to call you because, you know, I'm in school right now, but I want to do makeup. And so I said, okay. And then I said, well, where are you in school? And then I asked, I said, okay, so how much, you know, makeup training are you getting in school?
Right.
And then I said, and exactly where do you want to go with your career?
Right.
And the first thing she said, and I knew it was coming, and so I threw those questions out, she said, I want to do film.
Oh.
And I wanted to say, everybody wants to do film. But I refrained from saying that.
Right.
And so I just went, you know, I kept talking and whatever.
Right.
And then towards the end of the conversation, I said, now, who did you say gave me your number? And she said, oh, somebody gave me your card. I guess they were just passing along your card because they knew what I wanted to do. Now, this is what I'm talking about, being bold.
Yes.
You know, you're bold enough to dial the number.
Right.
You know, but nobody's smart enough. You're not smart enough to introduce yourself. Like you would normally do when you're starting a conversation over the telephone with someone you don't know, you introduce yourself. Hi, my name is, you know, so-and-so gave me your card. That's how I got your number. You know, so that the person that you're asking the question of, they're not, like, looking at the phone like, you know, who is
looking
this idiot
like,
that called
this?
Me? And
exactly.
So, you have enough respect to approach someone like that, but it's like, you've got a long way to go of even putting the work in if that's how you're going to approach your career and approach, you know, someone who you think could possibly help you.
And then it's lack of social etiquette. This is what I'm saying with the youth. they do not understand. We have to teach them. And I have taught many who've came in through my path, but they don't know. Like, for instance, this young lady who called, you should have said, I would love to assist you. Is there a way I can assist you, or can I email you some of my work? It may not be professional, but how do you get what I'm saying? So I don't think they even know, have that foundation to even start that business conversation. But we have to teach them. I'm very open to it. Because educators in my family, I try not to get annoyed or anything. I'm like, well, and I just educate them and say, this is, for instance, somebody Facebook messaged me and said, asked me to do something for them, and there was no thank you. So I was like, wow, who asks something and don't thank a person? You know, like, thank you. So no, needless to say, I didn't extend myself. I only, you know, do so when people have manners. But I'm just saying, we have to get back to the basics and teach our youth that professionalism and business etiquette and social etiquette goes a long way. It's imperative. So,
it really does.
Yeah,
it really
definitely
does. Now, let me switch gears just a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, in the top of the show, you talked about how you own a salon. You're a platform educator for Flushing Spartan.
Yes.
You're doing all of this stuff as a hair
right.
artist. How do you balance it all? And how do you balance, particularly how do you balance work in the salon with all the other work that you do outside of the salon? Because, you know, a lot of hairstylists struggle with that.
Right. Do they? Wow. So I have an idea why they do. My situation is probably a little different than many. I'm a one-woman salon owner. Like, it's just myself and my client. I don't have many waiting on me. It's one-on-one. Normally, I'll schedule maybe 2 to 3 hours because it takes about that time. I call it therapy with Nijeti. And, you know, I give them an ottoman, and I feed them. I serve them drinks. It's just a lot. I just take care of them. With that being said, I'm able to work in my home salon, and when I get industry calls, I can get it at any moment. I have 2 separate phones, and I just book, you know, like I'm about to do an actress here, Uzo Duba, who is in this film on Netflix called Orange is the New Black. So I'm about to do her hair next week. And so the way I balance it is that I have a schedule and I can get a phone call. And it's very rare that it has a lapse, like, you know, an industry gig with my salon. Very rare that I had to cancel a salon client. God is amazing. Like, I just will say, like, seriously, I've never stood up a salon client in my life. I don't believe in that. I've had to reschedule, but I've never stood anyone up. So it's an easy balance for me because I'm not in a brick and mortar. I'm not in a place where I have chairs, you know, like the typical salon owners with their chairs and so on. I purposely designed it this way because I want to get the phone calls and get up and go anywhere I choose to go. And because I love doing film, runway, I do everything, and I travel. So that's my situation. So I can balance it very easily compared to maybe someone who is working for someone else, or if that person is a salon owner themselves, they should be able to be in that position to, work in the industry as well as their salon clients. It's just take your schedule, book that salon client, and if somehow it overlaps over, then you accommodate that salon owner. Sometimes I'll take the money off or give them a free steam treatment or something like that, you know, but that's how I do it. So it just flows for me.
Well, what about those people, though, what kind of advice would you give those people who, you know, they're dying to get out there and do something besides standing in the salon, but they don't want to give up the salon because, one, they still love it, two, it's their main source of income, and they just want to break from it, you know, like maybe in the salon 4 days a week and then out on a set, you know, a few days a week. But what kind of advice would you give them, those who are struggling with it? Because I do know of some stylists who, you know, if they'll go and do a movie for 2 months.
Okay.
And, you know, once they get back to the salon, they've lost half of their clientele. How do they balance it so that they can maintain a good portion of their clientele? Because, you know, sometimes you'll be in the salon and a movie won't come around for you for a while for a long period of time, and so that you have to do the salon work. So they want to keep the salon work, but they want to be out on a set or a photo shoot or something like that as well. What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, that's interesting. My advice is that I don't know how they're losing their clientele, because, like, even for, like, I have a couple of films under my belt. I was the department head here for Red Hook Summer, Spike Lee movie. We did that last year. But my thing is that if that individual is on set doing a film for 2 months, that's their salon clients. They should be able to call them and say, I'm back in town. I'm ready to work. Are you ready to come in? I'm trying to understand, like, I don't know, like, my clients understand. They don't, there's no, they understand my situation, and they respect it. So I've never lost a client where if I'm away on film, I put it on Facebook and they know I'm doing that. They actually, they're Team Najetti. And so when I'm ready to work in the salon, when I'm able to and have that time, then I call them up and say, hey, I'm ready. So they should be able to call their salon, their clientele, and say, I'm open and I'm ready. You know, are you ready to come in? You get what I'm saying? So I don't understand how they lose.
I think for some stylists, it's a situation where, you know, when you talk to your clients about what it is you want to do, and when the opportunity comes up, they're happy for you and they're excited about the business that you're in outside of the salon. But when it actually comes to down to you're away from the salon and they need their hair done, now here's an issue. I can deal with you not doing it one time, but now you're telling me you've been gone for X number of weeks, and now I still can't get my hair done. You know, like they may be able to do something for the week that you're not there, but then when it's time for them to come back, they're like, okay, you know what, this is really getting to me, you know, and I need to find somebody that can consistently do my hair. You know, so my thing is, I always say, and I can't speak for the different hair artists out there, but my thing is, I always feel like as a person who goes to the salon to get their hair done, I feel like everybody should know more than one hairstylist. You go to the stylist that you really, really love. But if she's out working on a movie for 2 months, then you should be able to go somewhere else until she gets back.
Right, yeah, exactly. And they should be loyal, right?
And they should be loyal. I mean, yeah.
And they should be loyal. I'm so blessed my clients are loyal, especially being a natural hair care specialist. In my salon, I live in two worlds. In my salon, I don't add extensions, nor do I promote flat ironing natural hair. So I either style the hair from the most a blowout or from the wet condensed stage. Like, that's what I do. When I work in the industry, I make wigs, I weave. The only thing I don't add a relaxer in anyone's hair. I don't care if they're a celeb or anything. I don't partake in that. But I will style the hair and do what I have to do, you know, when you're in the film and so on. So I'm a men's groomer. So I do it all outside in the industry, which I love because it's so exciting. But I have my standards and my belief system where I don't want to. I want to teach our sisters that our hair is beautiful organically in its natural form, and that it's just God did no wrong when he made our hair right. And so that's what that's my motto, and they love it. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your man's grooming.
Yes.
How did that start? When you did that one video that you just mentioned earlier, or?
Oh, with no stuff? No, I cornrowed his hair for that Umi Says video. That was a cornrow. When did I begin? I'm thinking, like, for instance, I would groom in locks, and then in the back of their neck, you know, they need to align up. So I started from there. After I graduated high school, I realized I loved it. While I was in school, cosmetology school, I realized I loved to cut. So then I heard about supercuts. Fast forward, I went to supercuts for 3 months, learned the whole foundation of cutting, was beautiful. And then it helped me out so much because you're working on different ethnicities and hair textures and straight hair, everybody. So I'm exposed to that. And then it worked out so fine. Wonderful when I actually, the first film, I've done an independent film, but I did You're Nobody Till Somebody Kills You. That was Michael Pinckney. He was the writer and producer, and Spike was the executive producer. That was in 07. So there are men on there, like, and I was able to apply the Supercuts experience. You understand? Like, I wasn't going, I don't have experience going to other salons working. I got my experience going to Supercuts, and it worked. And so I was, you understand what I'm saying? Like, people don't understand. They put down these franchises, go there, learn everything you need to learn out there. Anything your heart desire that you want to partake in, learn it and do it. It will prepare you for everything that God that will bestow upon you. So that's what I did, and it was the best thing ever. So I'm on set by myself. I didn't have an assistant. I'm rocking everybody. Mm-hmm. So, I rocked it out, and for a month. I'm on set for a month for that You're Nobody, and then fast forward, I did Red Hook Summer last, and, well, we filmed in 2011, and Clark Peters, he even, I mean, I got the greatest compliment from Mr. Park, Clark Peters, and while we were on set in the church, and he's like, you are so, you know, he was mic'd and everything. He's like, you're amazing. Like, you stay on it. And I'm like, thank you. You know, it's like, that was so cool because, you know, these actors, these amazing actors, they've been around all types of people. So for him to say that,
right?
Yeah, I stay on it. So that's what I'm, you know, I'm just saying, like, that's how the grooming comes into, like, I don't have my clients in my salon, they're all women, but when I, because I have this experience with Supercuts and so on, and I love, you know, it comes in handy, and so I apply it when necessary.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about a little bit about your experience with Soft Sheen Carson. What is it actually that you're doing with them?
OMG. So I got this gig. It was so amazing from via Facebook. I'm telling you, people, use social media, Twitter, Facebook, and everything to your advantage. So someone from L'Oreal reached out to me in regards to them knowing I'm a natural hair salon, and they were talking about this product called Roots of Nature at the time. This was in 2010, and they wanted to send me the product. And fast forward, I, in return, asked her who hires the team for their campaigns. See what I'm saying, people? You have to ask the questions. Everything in order to get, you have to ask. And so to make a long story short, she gave me the person's information, so on. I end up, they saw my work, they love my website, and they were getting a new director of education at the time on board, and he interviewed me. He's like, how come I don't know about you? And I'm like, we know each other now. He hired me as, like, I'm going, like, I'm sitting in front of him thinking, like, oh, okay, I'm going to, you know, he's going to hire me for a campaign. He says, I want you to come on as a platform educator. I was like, what? Now, on my own, I freelance as an educator, like, from 2003 on, but this was the first time doing a corporation. You know, a corporation such as L'Oreal, Soft Sheen Carson, and it was just phenomenal for him to say that, and it is very quaint. They don't just bring anyone on when I realize. So you have my peers and colleagues, they're in different states, they're amazing veterans in their own and in the industry as well, and we go and we promote the product line behind Soft Sheen Carson. You know, like Dark and Lovely now has the Au Naturel line. I am their natural hair care specialist, so you'll see me on their how-to videos when you go to, you know, YouTube and put in Au Naturel, Dark and Lovely. I've done 4 how-to videos, and 2 more is about to come, debut in a few, you know, next coming within a month or so, because like we just shot it recently. But we travel.
Let me stop you really quickly. Which YouTube page is it on?
Oh, it's on you. If you go to YouTube, you put in the search engine, Au Naturel, and that's A-U, and then the word Naturel with the E at the end, and then put in Dark and Lovely. You're going to see the 4 videos populate, the how-to. And actually, one of them is a transitional. It's only been up for like 3.5 months, and it's gotten over 215,000 views. So it's doing great. Yeah, and the product is, I love it. So I'm really, really happy because I put that out 14 years ago. I said I wanted to do this. Like people have to, like, say it, think their dreams, say it, and work toward it. Don't be, like, fear should never be in, like, if you have doubt and fear and question, then that's when you block your blessings. But when you just say it like you deserve it, you are worthy of it, I'm telling you, God will make a way and put people in our lives to help us. You know, so although, you know, like my web designer, Mariku Studios, like she branded me. I'm so blessed to have a web designer like Brenda from Mariku Studios, and that's M as in Mary, I-R-E-K-U, and then the word studios with a S.com. She's amazing, so I'm blessed to have her in my life and other people that help me out, and I could, you know, I just love it.
Well, let me ask you, as a platform educator,
yes.
Are you at most of the beauty shows, beauty and trade shows?
Yes, the beauty and trade shows. We were just at the IHS in Secaucus, and my colleagues and I, we just worked it out, had a great time speaking about the product line. And then also we would show techniques, the audience, the techniques of how to use, like, remix rings and things of that nature. So, yes, so we travel in different states with them, and we just promote the beautiful product line that they have to offer. And it's amazing. It really is. You go out there and you're just helping people out. Especially what I really love is when I'm showing them a technique, and then I also give natural hair classes, being I'm a natural specialist. So I tend to give one-on-one with my boss, Ms. A. Jefferson, which I adore. We tend to work together. And, like, I gave a two-day class at the IHS. Then we were at Brawner Brothers in February, which was awesome. And so I've been with them actually 2 years, just a little over 2 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, about 2 years, and so much is happening. It's a dream come true, truly. Yes.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you, because I remember you saying earlier, with your clients in your salon, you do not add hair, and you do not straighten hair with a flat iron. And then, of course,
let me
you're working
clear that up. Just once a year, like maybe it's like a treat. The flat iron is like once a year. But it becomes, it is. So I just want to clear it up because I'll be incorrect if I say I don't do it. So go on. I'm sorry.
Okay, so no, and I was going to ask you, well, one, why is that? And then because I know that when you work with celebs, you will do both of those things, add hair and use a straighten
right.
with a flat iron. So just wanted to know, one, why, how come you don't do it, the reasons behind why you don't do it in your salon, and then just talk a little bit about the differences in salon work versus working with select clients.
Why I choose not to partake with adding extensions in my salon clients is because I want to show our sisters out there that our hair is so versatile, it's so beautiful as is. Like, for instance, if we have 2 inches of hair, I can create the comb coil twist and show them how to separate the comb coil for an afro twist out. I really want to, I think it's gotten to the point where sometimes sisters think they're not beautiful without adding somebody else's hair in their head. Like, seriously, they don't feel gorgeous. And then that's when I said, well, I got to break, that's something wrong with the psychosis of that. That means you think if you look in the mirror blanket, as God made you, you're not happy and you're not glowing, that's a problem. So I, even from the moment I pursued the industry, that was my belief system. I wasn't adding extensions to it. I would braid the client's hair and not add extensions to it, and I'm loving it. So that's why I don't do it, because I think it's gotten really out of hand in the sense where our sisters don't think they're gorgeous as is, and so I want to be part of this changing that mindset. And so now what I do, like I said, I may not add extensions, but I usually style the hair from the wet stage, or the most I do is I blow out the hair. Like my client, one of my celeb clients is Adapero Duye. I've known her 10 years. I love Adapero. So, but what I love about her, she'll sit in my chair. She will not tell me how to do her hair at all. She'll just sit there. I've styled her hair for the Pariah premiere, the Still Magnolias premiere, when she was on The View with her cast. When she was on 106 in Park and so on. But I don't add extensions in her hair. She doesn't want that. And I love it. So, you know, and Kim Wayne saw her hair. She was like, I wish my daddy lived in L.A. So, I'm getting a text from Adapero telling me this. So I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is what I want our sisters to know. Like, once in a while it's good. Don't get me wrong. But when it becomes habitually where it takes over you feeling good about yourself, organically, then that's when I say, let's step back and let's revamp this. And that's why I don't do so in my salon.
Okay. Gotcha. Makes sense.
You know? Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But can you speak a little bit about working with celeb clientele versus everyday women in the salon. And the reason why I say that is because when you work with select clientele, a lot of times that means you are on a movie or television set at their hotel, getting them ready for either the red carpet or some type of performance, versus, and there are time limits with that, versus in the salon where there's a time limit only because, you know, you may have scheduled someone, you know, to come in after the person that you're working with. So it's a situation where you don't want anyone to sit a long time waiting to be serviced. But it's not so much of a time limit as it is when you're working outside of the salon on a photo shoot or a movie or prepping somebody for a performance. So, and I'm just saying that for those hair artists out there who have worked in the salon and now they're on set, they're still new to working on set, but they're on set, and they still kind of have that hair salon.
Yes,
mentality, so to speak.
Yes, I get exactly where you're going, Janice. Okay, so with my salon clients, you have to remember their hair is a certain length, their hair is a length. And so I always give a consultation. It's very important to give a consultation and let that client know what the styling options are. And so I do that from I can just look at the person's hair. They can text me a picture of their hair, and I'm like, this is what can be done. And then we discuss it, and then I make sure I get a definite, like, okay, I want to do this. I want to do double strand twist, or I want to blow out, and I want your combo style. So that's what I would suggest, to have a great conversation, open, thorough, and find out what your client wants. And then, therefore, you follow through with it. Whereas when you're on set doing film, it's so different. You're right, where you all have, you and your sister have so much more experience on film, but me just being on Red Hook Summer, you're dealing with the actors and actresses, their characters come, it becomes almost impromptu. You discuss, you have a conversation, you build with that actress or actor, and you find out where that hair needs to go for that particular scene. And that's what I had to learn. I had to learn so much, like, oh, okay. And so you discuss it, and so you bond with one another. And then, like when I did Mr. Clark Peters, you know, that when I came in, they filmed for 3 weeks. I wasn't there for the first week. I was there for the following 2 weeks. So when I came on, I had to create continuity. You know, his hair was going, it was like in a blowout, and it was off his face. So I had to continue that. But then it became a time when I took his hair, like the last scene, where it was a very touchy scene. I had to make him look 10 years younger. So I had to take away his gray and cut his mustache. And there was no room for error because I didn't have a fake mustache. With that being said, still... Yes, honey. So I was like, Spike, when I was talking to Spike, Spike was like, I want this mustache. I'm like, okay, Spike. So I cut, you know, from the top of the nostril and made it very thin, and then I got a spray can, took away the gray and so on. So when you're dealing with actresses and actors, you have to find out what their character, what is best for that character, how you want that hairstyle, so it becomes a, you know, union. So, you know, you come together. And that's a lot of things are impromptu because it's not, you know, you don't have, well, I haven't had anyone hover on my back saying, like, do this, do that. You and that actress and actor will decide what's best for that role. And that's been my experience.
Absolutely. And then also, you know, sometimes I see hair artists who are on set, you know, they're kind of new to sets, that, you know, you know how in the salon sometimes when you're doing hair, the stylist wants the hair to be perfect, you know, and we don't want it to move, and it's got to look, you know, that's kind of not the mentality that you need, or the mindset that you need for like some of the sets, you know.
Right.
There's always time to touch up if something's out of place. You know what I mean? So keeping in mind that because there is a time limit, you know, you have to work fast, but you have to give them what they want in that time. And if something's out of place, you can go back in and fix it or correct it. If something's moving and you don't want it to be moving, then, of course, you can, do all the sprays or whatever you need. You know, you could tell I'm not a hairstylist. Right. Do all the sprays and all the stuff that you need.
Yes. That's
to hold it or whatever the situation is.
Right. It's true. Stepping in, you know that word. Stepping in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but I just wanted to, you know, I just kind of wanted you to share a little bit, you know, on that. What do you think about some of the reality shows that have to do with hair? Because there's so many of them, but they're all, there's a lot of different ones. You know, you have your Tabitha takeover.
Yes, I love Tabitha. I adore
her. Yeah, I like her too.
Yes. Yes. You have a lot of belief systems the same. Yes.
And then you have, you know, and then you have the ones that actually deal with the salon, and I know your salon atmosphere is a little different. You're a one-woman show, so it's not like you have other people in the salon. But I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on some of the reality shows that pertain to hair.
You want me to start with Tabitha? I love and adore her. She's a great inspiration. I love anyone who put themselves in a position to help another. I love helping people.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think she's just – sometimes I just tweet, I'm like, oh, she's so inspirational. And, yes, and she changes people's lives because she goes in and helps them and teach them about being business professional. She shows them business etiquette, and she just she changed their, you know, salon and make them feel better and teach them how to get along properly and execute their hone their skills and teach. That's the way it should be. And then you have those other reality shows. Look, this is my type. I come from a place where I'm all about uplifting and encouraging,
mm-hmm.
and I don't deal with that other side because that's not what my spirit is about. So I'm just going to kind of leave it as that because I'm not going to – I don't speak on anyone unless I am thumbs up to them. So that's how I feel. I think we just – it's an individual situation, and we all I believe in that, you know, it's if you're not there to encourage and uplift, then what's the point?
What's the point? Absolutely.
What's the point? That's
what
all I'm saying.
The point?
Yeah. Yes. So.
You're right about that.
Yeah, because why can't we have reality shows that actually tell the truth about, you know, certain situations? Like if it's about a salon, why can't we have reality shows that actually tell the truth about what actually goes on in the salon without there being added drama? Of course, there may be some drama when you're working, when you have more than one person working in one place. Of course, there's going to be some drama from time to time, but I want to see the real drama without the act. Because some things happen on these reality shows that, you know, if you owned that salon or you were the manager of a certain salon, you wouldn't put up with half of the stuff that you see.
That is so true. You're absolutely correct. I am flabbergasted. I just sit there and say, I'm like, I was on a reality show in 2005 called Making It Big. It was on Oxygen Network, and this is before all the reality shows came out, and
mm-hmm.
I placed second. It was filmed in Toronto. I was chosen out of hundreds of contenders, and it was a blessing. Went there, you know, we had to go on set with a photographer, and they put us through this, you know, here, take this wet hair and put in these two models, and they try to throw drama in it and everything. But because I used to act as well in my 30s, so I have experience in acting. So that didn't work for me, and therefore they didn't know how to handle me. So I would not show a side that they were looking for it to be seen. And with that being said, long story short, I came in second. But, hey, I made the New York Times because in 2005 they did an article on reality shows in general, and my picture with the model was – I didn't even win. And, you know, because I said to God, I wanted to get in the New York Times, and this is what I tell people, think it, say it, and do it. Don't worry about how you're going to get there. He will get you there. And it was only because a client in Atlanta was reading the New York Times and called me up and said, Nijetti, you're in the New York Times. I was like, are you serious? So there we go. And so basically, that's it. What was I saying? That I do that. Ladies, I'm like, I'm playing one thing. Like, what did I say? Okay. Bear with me, everyone. But, yes, what was I saying, though? I was talking about. Janice, you're laughing at me.
You were talking about the reality show.
Oh, the
and
reality
show. You were talking about how you had experience in acting.
Oh, right, and then I was on a reality show. So that was, so I kind of know just that little experience. My reality show was filmed in 3 days, whereas these reality the others that we're seeing are like 2 months filming or something like that. It's more
right
depth, and but it's a lot. It's not a joke. It really is, and it is it's very real, and they throw a little, yeah, they try to throw you up, take you off track, but mine was different than the ones like in the salon. You know, that salon base, and you have these reality shows. Totally different feel to it. It was a competition. I was on a competition reality show, so that was my experience. Yeah, it was really cool, though. Nice experience.
Well, gosh, I feel like we could go on and on and on, and we're just going to have to get you back on down the road.
Please do. We
pretty much are running out of time, but I know there's so much more to talk about.
Right.
So we'll definitely get you back
media?
On.
Can I give my social media shout out?
That's what I was just going to tell you to shout out all of your websites and those kind of things.
Oh, thank you, Janice. I enjoyed you, ladies. Well, follow me on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter, and it's at Hair by Nigetti. So that's H-A-I-R, B as in boy, Y, and then my name, Nigetti. N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, D as in David, J as in James, E as in Edward, T as in Tom, I. So all of it is Hair by Nigetti. But on my websites, just go to Nigetti.com, and you will see all my websites, my DVD, and my salon, and then my industry website, and all of that good stuff. And my salon number is 973-748-0181. I'm in Bloomfield, New Jersey, and I also work in the city at Main Advocates on West 35th Street. So give me a call and everyone come on out. So I work in the industry, but I do everyone's hair. I still work in the salon, and everyone is a celebrity. So come on out and let me give you some therapy. I look forward to seeing everyone.
Love it. Now, before we get off, would you please share with all of us what beauty means to you?
Beauty, what beauty means to Nigetti. Well, I'm going to thank God, my mother. I love my mother, Shirley Harvey. I have to give her a shout-out. Actually, my mother taught me how to braid and cornrow. I have to let that, you know, be known. So she raised me that beauty is a character, is how you are as a person. And she made it sure that we were good people, treat people how you want to be treated. She emphasized that. You know what I love about my mother growing up? She would say, never make fun of something, of someone that they can't change. And that means, like, you know how people can pick fun on someone looks and someone got a big ears and big fists. But my mother would not allow my sisters and I to do that. We would come home, she's like, you do not do that. And I was like, oh. Because I was the special one of them. My two sisters are good, Kim and Monique. They were the good ones. I was the special one, you know, the middle child one. And so she had to talk to me a little more often than the others. And so I needed that. And I'm so glad she emphasized that. And so beauty is you know, if we treat others how we want to be treated, people may say that it's like, what? Yes. You know, people understand. If you don't want someone yelling at you, if you don't want anyone, you know, using derogatory terminology towards you and things of that nature, don't do it to someone else. It's like your spirit is so much lighter. And so, yes, beauty does start within, and everything else glows outwardly. So that's what beauty is, synergetic.
All right. All right, very nice. With that being said, thank you so much again for joining us.
We definitely would
love to have you back on a future show. For those of you out there who listen tonight, enjoy the show. Go out and mark it as a favorite right here on Blog Talk Radio. And stay tuned for our show next week. We'll post out there on Facebook and Twitter who our next guest is. And as always, thank you guys for listening. And, I just wanted to make a quick announcement.
Yes. Thank you so much for this. I enjoyed you. Yes.
Oh, thank you. And I just wanted to make a quick announcement. We didn't mention in the beauty news, but IMAX London is June 22nd through 23rd of this year. So June 22nd and 23rd. It's not in Pasadena. It's in London, June 22nd and 23rd. In London. So for those of you who want more information,
You can go to www.imats.net, and you can get all the information about the London show that's coming up. So, again, good night, everybody, and we'll chat with you guys next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Peace and love.